our guest, Rhonda Zolecki. She was a fantastic. Oh, look at those phones light up, Toby. Should we just give them your home phone?
Yes.
We'll take care of that.
Let's do that.
TheDiabeticShow.com. Please be gentle. We have the Facebook page. Oh, Troy just sits there pressing buttons and just laughs.
He makes it happen, and he's normal. He's got no diseases that we know of.
We can also include him in any legal proceedings.
He drinks maple syrup in front of us during the show. Thank you, Troy.
He's got the fingers on the buttons.
We'll be back for another show. Listen to us. Go us online, and we'll talk to you soon.
We appreciate you hanging in there, The Diabetic Show. Hopefully talk to you next time.
This is WGTD-FM. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW-Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Jess Sheeler, an outreach and career transition specialist at Job Corps, Steve Brown, assistant professor of education leadership at UW Oshkosh, and former Kenosha Unified School Superintendent Joe Manji. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Manji of Education Matters, and this is our first program on WGTD 91.1 HD. I'd like to start off by thanking all the wonderful people here at WGTD Radio for giving us this opportunity. To Dave Cole, Greg Berg, Dave McGrath, Russ Weller, and of course, Gateway President Brian Albrecht. We're very appreciative and honored to be given this opportunity to share good news about our wonderful cities of Kenosha and Racine. And we'd like to thank the listeners for letting us share your Saturday morning with us. We really appreciate your time and your future input for ongoing programming. Our ongoing theme is Kenosha and Racine being kind. There's hundreds of examples of Kenoshans and Racine people being kind to one another on a daily basis, being generous with their time, volunteering, using their resources, and giving back to the community. One of the ways that people do this is the Peace Learning Circles, people who teach peace education, bullying prevention, conflict resolution, strategies for elementary age students, but also to parents and teachers. So with us this morning, we're very fortunate to have Mary Beth Zolke, Mary Motter, and Geraldine Bodie. And they're going to share strategies on peaceful homes, peaceful schools, what kids, teachers, and parents can do to eradicate bullying and promote a peaceful community. So Peace Learning Circles is a nonprofit educational organization working in the Kenosha and Racine communities, working with teachers, students, and parents, practicing peace, conflict resolution, bullying prevention, team building, making acts of kindness not random but every day, respecting diversity, stress relief, and being an overall good person and a valued contributor in our schools, at home, and in our communities. Our primary focus is fourth graders at the elementary level, but we also run workshops for teachers, parents, and community members. We teach students and adults how to be peace mentors and peacekeepers. We also co-sponsor community-based programs like the beautiful Veterans Day program held at Mahone School this past December. So here to share their ideas and thoughts and strategies with us this morning are longtime and present-day educators, Mary Beth Zolke, Mrs. Z, as the kids call her, Mary Motter, and Geraldine Bodie. And we'll start with Mary Beth, who is also a UW Parkside professor and mentor of student teachers, Title I teacher, runs Chat and Chew math and reading workshops, and is one of the founders of the original Peace Learning Circles, which is now in its 12th year. So, Mary Beth, why don't we start with you? Can you tell us a little bit about founding Peace Learning Circles, what led you to do it, and why you're keeping at it for 12 years? That's fantastic.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's a privilege and an honor to be part of Peace Learning Circles. It started in 2006 when there was a special event at Siena Center talking with the people at the Peace Learning Center of Milwaukee, and there's a Peace Learning Center in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we watched and learned. Dennis Weichel was one of the other co-founders, Juliet Garesh, and myself, and Sue Hollow. The four of us met together and said, how can we bring this to Kenosha and Racine schools? How can we work with kids? We approached Roseanne Mason from Diversity Circles at UW Parkside, and she led us into ways that we could build the program and make it unique to the Kenosha Racine area.
Okay, and this is your 12th year. Can you describe the fun and joy that you're having right now running workshops with your co-Peace Learning Circles people?
Well, it's been a joy to keep doing the workshops, to meeting the different teachers, the students. The fact that they enjoy learning the peaceful strategies or techniques that we talk about.
Okay, thank you. And we'll get back to you, Mary Beth. Mary, longtime KUS teacher at Bullen and McKinley Middle Schools, teaching special needs students, at-risk children, and you've been a wonderful addition to Peace Learning Circles. So why did you join us, and describe what the program is like for you?
Well, Joe, that's your fault. You got me involved with Peace Learning Circles. I think we were talking about how it felt to be retired, which you have seemed to have trouble doing.
That's
retiring.
True.
And we were talking about Kindness Week last year. I wanted to do a story on Peace Learning Circles and decided to join the board as a facilitator. Mm-hmm. And then I did a story for our newspaper, the Southeast Labor Times, and just started doing workshops with the team and mm-hmm. enjoyed it so much.
Well, we're really fortunate to have you, and we're primarily teaching students and teachers in the elementary level at the fourth grade, because they're going to be the school leaders the following year. So it's like a two-for-one kind of thing.
It's awesome. And Joe, we carried it even further, because then Mary Beth and I wrote a grant.
That's correct.
And we got a grant from the Susan B. Anthony Foundation for $1,500 to teach peaceful parenting at the Shalom Center, which will start in May.
Mm-hmm. We really owe a lot to Reverend Olin Arrington, who started Kindness Week way back in the 1980s. And we often felt that Kindness Week shouldn't be just a week, that it should be every day all year long. And that really random acts of kindness is a misnomer, because we can teach ways for students to be kind. So that leads us to Geraldine Bodie. And Geraldine Bodie, you're a current counselor at Mitchell Middle School in Racine, presenter at state conferences on mindfulness training, dance coach, LGBTQ support person, school DJ, school assistant coordinator. What don't you do at Mitchell School?
It's ruined me for any other job. We have a lot of exciting things going on at Mitchell, and we've been climbing with our MAP scores. We have the highest growth in the district, and our discipline referrals are down. And I attribute that to a lot of things we do in the school that are geared toward peace, which is why it made so much sense to join Peace Learning Circles.
You've used the program in your classroom, am I correct, or at school?
I use it in my office all the time, and I'm looking forward to bringing more formal groups and have larger groups of students trained. Mm-hmm. I'm working on that, because, as you know, Peace Learning Circles is a strong force in Kenosha.
Yes.
And Racine is our next mission.
Okay. Mindfulness training. You've done workshops at the state level. For our listeners, what exactly is mindfulness training?
Mindfulness is really a softer term that comes from meditation, because in the West, we tend not to see meditation as something scientific. controlling the autonomic system, we see it is that it has to be religious. And it doesn't have to be religious, but it's very easy to incorporate your family's own values into mindfulness practices. It's an attitude of looking at life to live in the present moment, to help the person in front of you, to embrace gratitude at any moment you can. But to practice it, it can be anywhere from taking a mere 30 seconds to do a deep breathing exercise and go into oneself and leaving the outside world out of your mind. But somebody who's very practiced in it might do 30 minutes of transcendental meditation. There's a whole spectrum that mindfulness can be used.
It's really been helpful with our programming. And we're learning as we're going, and we're also learning from kids. We're learning from students, from teachers, what they would like us to emphasize. So it isn't just, as Mary Beth has said, it isn't just bullying prevention. There's so much more. And I liked your thought about it being an attitude. An attitude, you get good at what you practice, and right, you can practice ways to be peaceful. So we have basically six tools that we use as part of our programming. Mary Beth, you're going to start and give us the I message. Can you share with the folks out there, what is an I message as a strategy?
An I message is a way to tell people what you're feeling, to show your emotions honestly, because our emotions are an important part of how we develop and share our point of view. So it's important to connect our feelings with what happened or what you want the other person to know about your feelings when you're having a small conflict. So you could say, for a student, you could say, tell Rob how you feel when he borrowed your CD and scratched it. And so you would say, Rob, you'd name the person, give the respect to the person. I feel sad when you borrowed my CD and scratched it. It's one of my favorites. I want you to replace it.
Mm-hmm. Versus, Rob, this is all your fault. What are you going to do about it? It's a whole different attitude when you start with I.
Mm-hmm. Or, you make me so mad. Here, I thought I could give you a CD to use, and you ruined it.
Exactly.
So basically, it's taking the accusatory tone out of your conversation. I want this, not you, and taking blame out of the conversation. So that's excellent. That's one of our tools. Bodhi, could you take us through a peace breath?
Yes. This is something you can do at home. Go to heartmath.com. It's been around for about 10 years. That's the seed that was planted in me that led me down the road of mindfulness. But the shortest, simplest method, do it to calm down before homework if you have anxiety. Do it when you're angry at your brother or sister, if you're stressed out at work. Teachers at our school, some of them, they start every class with just a 30-second heart math technique can save you 15 minutes of discipline problems later on. So you want your feet flat on the floor, and you want your hands in a comfortable position, not clenched or tight. And it's always best if you keep your eyes closed. But if you're about to take a quiz and you don't want the teacher to yell at you for having your eyes closed, simply stare at your paper as though you're looking over the directions. And now you want to take a very slow, deep breath in through your nose, very slow, and exhale through your mouth, very slow. Inhale 2, 3, and exhale slowly. Again, inhale slow, and exhale slow. Again, inhale, and exhale. Imagine your heart inside your chest, pumping blood, healthy and alive. Now think of a time that you were very grateful for something. Could be something simple like a chocolate chip cookie or a bike ride. But imagine it in your mind as though it were happening right now. Put a smile on your face and open your eyes. How do you feel when you do that, Mary?
I feel very peaceful. I was doing it along with you.
Imagine doing that, going on YouTube. There's plenty of examples, and some fit others better. There's so many methods. You can find one right for you. If you're a classroom teacher, Headspace is a good way to start with your students because it's accompanied by a little explanation video. And I found with Ms. Newman's class at Mitchell, if you're beginning with children and you want them to do more of this, it's better to start with 30 seconds for about a week and then move to a minute, and each week taking on a minute more. Her class got up to 10 minutes. Gage Park High School in the south side of Chicago has gotten up to 20 minutes with an expensive transcendental meditation program funded by the David Lynch Foundation and the research done by the University of Chicago. A school about to close had their test scores soar with the test group, and discipline went down. There's numerous things that mindfulness can improve, anywhere from diet issues, weight issues, health issues, just a feeling of focus. It's not that your problems are eliminated by meditation or using mindfulness. It's just that you have a more peaceful attitude, more focus, like, I'm going to go forward and do this anyway, and it's going to be okay. The best proof is in the pudding. You've really got to try it.
And Bodhi, if you're not a student and you're not a teacher, but if you're a mom, kind of at her wit's end, you could try a peace breath to avoid shouting. And if you are working with perhaps a coworker that maybe is getting on your nerves, maybe a peace breath could help there. Because I know one of the problems that we do have in the workplace sometimes is that people don't always get along.
Yeah. Well, one thing it's doing, it is you're putting a more direct control over your autonomic system. So we don't have to think about breathing, but when we do think about breathing, we can actually change the pace of our breathing and therefore your blood pressure and therefore how much oxygen is sent to the brain, to your frontal lobe, your problem-solving area, decreasing the activation of your caveman brain that says, oh, I have to survive, I have to worry, I have to run, I have to attack. So it's really shifting the way your brain problem solves when you take a minute to breathe deeply.
So can I use it when I'm driving? Because I'm a senior citizen, and it always seems like, you know, I'm driving the speed limit or 5 miles over. There's always somebody on my bumper. Get out of the way. You know, Joe, you're a slow driver or whatever, or somebody's cutting me off in traffic. And there are times when I get really upset. Like, well, that was mean. You know, that wasn't even safe. You just cut me off. And I feel my hands tense on the steering wheel, and that can't be good. So is there a peace breath that I could, I mean, I've tried it. Is there, you got some tips for senior citizen drivers who seemingly have always have somebody on our bumper, like, get out of the way, this is my road?
Yeah, don't close your eyes, though. definitely taking a moment to breathe. And this is going to sound elementary, but we're all in education here. An imagery in your mind. I've told students to put their problems or the ugly driver in a bubble and imagine the bubble popping and spurting. And as you exhale, just blow that spurted bubble away from you.
Okay.
It sounds fluffy, but it does work.
Well, I try that, and sometimes I'm thinking, okay, that was mean, but you know what? You're out of my life forever. I'm never going to encounter you again, hopefully on the highway or right behind my bumper, unless you're a neighbor, you know. So, okay, that works. That helps. Mary, peace apology.
Oh, okay. The peace apology is different from just that ordinary apology where you're like, yeah, sorry, you know, because you're going to be actually doing something meaningful. You're going to use their name, for example, Joe, and then say what the concern was. Joe, I'm really sorry that I was on your bumper. And then say how you're going to change it. I'm not I promise I won't get that close to your car again. Can we try it again? Mm-hmm. Okay? Especially if I'm your neighbor and I pull out of right behind you every day and I'm on your bumper. And I might have to say, sorry. But the idea is that you use the name to get their attention. You say what you did that was a problem and then how you're going to be fixing it.
I think the name recognition, saying somebody's name, is really a strong strategy because you're giving them dignity. You know, you're making them feel like I'm a real person. Somebody actually knows my name. Okay, that works. So, Mary Beth, rephrasing, what is that?
Rephrase is a tool to help people reflect back, or I like to say mirror, where you listen to what bothered the person, and then you find a way of restating it, but in a more less stressful way. In the incident of the boy who said, I got the new CD and you scratched it and ruined it, you would say to them, Joe, I hear that you feel sad, or Rob, excuse me, the boy's name I used before was Rob. Rob, I heard you're upset that I scratched your CD. I'll try to replace it. And you mirror back that the person was upset and that you want to say, are you saying that I really need to replace it, or is there something I should have done differently? We had a wonderful example with when we were talking to kids about iMessages and the need to rephrase when they tell even their parents. If there's something, it's a good way to be respectful and tell your parents if something annoys you or if your parents are annoyed by you. And one of the students who was pretty edgy, the teacher said it made such a dramatic difference to him. He had gone home and said to his mom, we learned 6 peace tools, and I want to tell you about them. The first is the I messages and the feelings. The second is rephrasing, where you got to mirror back what I say. And the mom said, oh, okay, give me an example. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you really, Mom, what I feel. I feel sad that you and Dad are getting a divorce, and you trash him all the time. You talk about him, and it really upsets me. And Mom says, no, I don't. What do you mean? Your dad's just a louse and he's not been. And Mikey says, Mom, that's not rephrasing. You have to mirror back what I just told you. And the mom said, oh, wow. Mikey, are you saying I should talk more positive about your dad? I really should be more thoughtful and not involve you in our discussions. And then Mikey said, you know what she did? She went over to the telephone, picked it up, called my dad and said, Ben, I know it's a while since you and I've talked and you haven't seen Mikey. Do you want to pick him up and take him this weekend? She talked nicer to him than I ever heard her talk in the last 4 or 5 months. And it really worked. And now we rephrase our feelings toward each other all the time.
So rephrasing is also an example of listening, of a good listening skill. Am I correct?
Yes.
Because you're mirroring back what somebody said. Oftentimes you get this glazed look at somebody when you're talking and, uh-oh, conversation must be over because their mind's somewhere else. Their mind drifts. Our minds drift. So are we correct that rephrasing is a good listening skill?
Yes.
All right, super. So, Mary, ready, set, go.
Well, when you're talking about listening, that is part of it. And I know you're going to be talking a little bit more about listening, but when we're talking about the peace tools, we tell the students that there's some things that they can do alone, but sometimes the conflict is just so much that they really can't solve it on their own. And at that point, they want to involve a playground supervisor, a teacher, or maybe a classmate who has been through the peace training. And that's the ready, set, go. So the first thing is, are you calm and ready to solve the conflict? And often, as a as a special education teacher, and Joe, you know that I worked with emotionally behavior disordered students.
Yes.
Okay.
And you did an excellent
job. Well, thank you. But often when they were in crisis, when they were very, very upset, they weren't really ready. And what Frank Fesser used to say for his Life Space Crisis interview, he'd say that there had to be a sort of a drain-off time, a calm-down time. So when the students actually are ready to talk, and you have to wait until they're ready. So you've got the ready, okay, and you ask, are you ready to talk? Then each one of them says the story from their point of view and listening to the other person. And when that's done, you see if you can come up with a solution that's a win-win for both. Mm-hmm. And it might involve a peace apology at that point. But the listening is so very, very important.
We're assuming and we're learning as we're teaching that you need an adult to be part of the ready, set, go.
Not really. And we are learning about that because as the students have pointed out to us is that there's oftentimes when maybe mom's making dinner or doing something and there's more than one kid in the family and it's like, hey, go see and what your brothers are doing. I hear a bunch of noise up there. So one of our fourth graders actually could go up and find out what her little brothers are doing, and she could do, and I'm assuming, I mean, it might be a she or a he, mm-hmm. could do the ready, set, go with their younger siblings and help mm-hmm. mom out.
Okay, and that's been something that we're learning. We didn't realize
that
kids were solving conflicts at home, and oftentimes they're being told, hey, your brothers are wrestling upstairs and the lamp just crashed on the floor. Find out what's going on, mm-hmm. you know, take care of it. I mean, every student's hand shot up in the classroom, several classrooms, when we asked this question. So the sixth peace tool is the peace move. And that's when if you're on the playground and you're in a situation where a student comes up and is threatening, maybe hands clenched and somebody said that you called me a name, and what do you do? We teach students to take one step back, cross their arms, use the student's name if possible, and say, you know, Sam, I don't want to fight. You back away. I don't know, Bodie, in the middle school, do you ever have your kids use peace moves? I mean, what do you tell them if they're confronted by somebody?
Well, we haven't had, unfortunately, not yet, but I'm working on it. We haven't had students formally trained with peace learning circles. So I disseminate with my own style. And there's a wonderful young man I was recently working with where, you know, he gets upset easily when someone's playing around just for fun with boys that age. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. they're interpreting it, we're not just poking me for fun. That upsets me. So he's memorized stop, breathe, and leave. And that seems to be helping him because by just taking that moment to get a deep breath in, to get his heart rate lowered and some oxygen to his frontal lobe, it gives him an extra second to remember, mm-hmm. I'm going to leave from where I'm standing. If the teacher's over there or in the next room, I'm going to leave until I'm out of this situation, because as you used the word ready before, mm-hmm. ready, set, go, you have to be ready before you solve that problem.
That's so true. I had an example where I was observing a student teacher for Parkside at the Case High School in Racine, and one of the students got really mad, hadn't finished an assignment that was due, and got up very upset, slammed, put his book on the floor, and the student teacher said, should I send him to the office? And I said, let's let him calm down. Let me take him to the, mm-hmm. you know, out of the room. That luckily the teacher's office was near this side. Try not to make a referral slip right away. Let's see what's really bothering him. So I took him into the office, sat down with him, and in about 30 seconds, well, aren't you going to yell at me for what I did? And I said, no, I'm going to relax. You need to relax. You need to just take a deep breath and calm down a little bit. Then we'll talk. And so a few minutes later, he looked at me and said, "Now you're staring at me." You could see he was upset. And I said, "No, I'm not staring at you. I'm just thinking what a probably beautiful little boy you were, and what your mom probably thought about you and what you'd be when you grew up." And he said, "Oh, my mom has got real problems. I don't even want to talk about it." And I said, "That's okay. You just need someone to care about you. How about if I be your honorary grandma for this few minutes?" He really calmed down. Mm-hmm. He needed someone to care about him, just to care about his feelings. And sometimes with kids, even our fourth graders are saying that that's the best tool we've given them, to talk about being kind or to reflect peace back and practice peace by just listening to a person or looking at how upset they are. And as one of the fourth graders said when we do the peace breath, breathe in peace, breathe out love. Sometimes just a little bit of love is all anybody needs in a situation.
Well, Joe, it's really a shame that this is radio and they can't see your awesome peace moves.
Oh, yeah.
I really like that. But I think what I hear you saying is that when someone is very, very upset, you want to give them their space.
That's correct. You know, being principal at Bradford, although I loved every second of it, you'd get called to situations where students were out of sorts, angry, throwing a fit, really upset. And you have to be calm. And when you approach the student, you never get directly in front of them. I would always kind of saunter up along their side, and I'd be side by side with them, not in front of them, respecting the space and the fact that they needed to vent. So I'd come up alongside and say something like, "You know, I get upset too. You must be really feeling pretty bad. How about if we take a walk? Let's go outside." Sometimes we'd leave the building and go out and sit on the front steps. But I would be very, very careful not to front the student. I would be alongside, either on the right side or the left side, never in front. So when somebody's angry, the worst thing you can do is front them. You know, with hands clenched and all tensed or whatever, you kind of like amble up alongside, and you have to be calm and put yourself in that person's shoes, because they can't solve the problem until they calm down. So all of that comes, I think, with our next is being a good listener. I would always try to sit down with students who were in trouble, and I would say, over water or Coke or whatever, I'm not going to scold you. I'm not going to give you advice. I'm not going to read you the riot act. I'm not going to judge you. I'm just going to shut up and listen. So tell me what's happening. What's going on? And this 15-year-old sophomore once said to me, "Mr. Manji, I'm not perfect, but parts of me are excellent, and you in this school don't see my excellent parts." I'm like, whoa, I'm listening to Socrates. This is a 15-year-old sophomore. I mean, there's a lot of wisdom in that comment. I'm not perfect, but parts of me are excellent.
That's heavy.
And you don't see any of my excellent parts. I said, okay, you know, you're right, we don't. And I'm going to give you a peace apology. I'm sorry, we've messed up, we've let you down. So what are you good at? And this is a true story without giving too much away, but she got A's in art, but F's in everything else. So we had an auto shop teacher who was losing enrollment. And I went to him and said, okay, you're fixing all of these jalopies. I've got this student who's a really good artist. Suppose we come up with the funding and you introduce detailing cars as part of your curriculum. I mean, what would it hurt? Plus, you don't have any female students in this classroom. It's about time, don't you think? Great idea. So she signs up for this class, and we get a jalopy, and she starts detailing it, and it's amazing. And we put the jalopy outside for all the kids to see as they were entering the school. That enrollment skyrocketed. Plus, we got girls into auto shop. True story, this young lady is running AutoZone. I think she's got three in the Cleveland suburbs area. She's manager of all three.
Wow, she'd be hiring us.
Yes, she could. So it's finding kids' talents and emphasizing those talents and skills. So listening. So we've got a few minutes. Let's talk about that. Mary Beth, what's a good listener to you? Describe a good listener.
Someone who stops, looks them in the eye, and hears them out, really. And it's so good to see kids who want to become good listeners and ways that they can do it. We kind of went on the what makes someone peaceful. P is for the acronym, practice polite behavior. Just be a little bit more polite when someone talks to you and you talk to them. And then the E, like you said, encourage and help each other. And A, accept the person for just who they are. And C, create that caring atmosphere when you're listening to someone. And E, enjoy and respect the environment. Sometimes just take a walk outside, listen to them, get away from where the situation is happening.
Bodie, what's a good listener?
A good listener, which Mary Beth had talked about before, reflects back. Very easy to reflect. You're just repeating back what the person has told you. But it's important because then the person you're speaking to knows that you understand. And when you're doing that, looking at them in the eye, you're connecting with them, you're building a relationship. And I have seen at Mitchell, and there's many great schools in our area, the good teachers are building relationships with the student, and that involves listening. In particular, students of color really need that because they have walls of protection up that they've been taught not to trust unless they have a reason to. But if you're going to take the time and look them in the eye and listen to them, that's where that relationship starts.
Mary, how about you?
And a good listener, Joe, is not on their phone at the same time. They're not texting. They're not thinking about what else they're going to say. They're not looking for a way to one-up, sort of like, oh, this is what I did. They're not necessarily looking for a solution. Well, you were talking before about men and women talking and stuff. They're not trying to fix things. They're just listening and
right.
Not necessarily trying to come up with a solution, just hearing someone out.
From a guy's standpoint, we were laughing because we were talking about this earlier. And what we do, folks, there's a lot of joy and happiness in what we do. We're having a riot. We're like the Beatles. I mean, you can't get messages across to kids and people. But the whole men and women thing, because men, we get defensive. And when you give us advice, we think you're criticizing us. So then we tend to get defensive. So we need to shape up, or how do we combat that?
And I have a
that?
Perfect example for you, Joe, from a friend of yours, Carol Larson.
Okay.
Okay, so Carol Larson, an English teacher at Bradford, worked with Joe for many years, and she was married to her husband, Irving. Irving used to say, let's see, when I've reached perfection, she'll have nothing left to say to me.
Okay. Oh, that's a whole different conversation.
Sorry.
A whole different radio program. We'll talk about that, folks. We could go on for hours about that one. We came up with four steps to a more peaceful home. So, Mary Beth, can you give us one step towards a more peaceful home?
Well, I think when you're together, sitting around, just share what was your favorite part of the day. If you talk to someone and say, I did this today, it's that sense of an attitude of gratitude. What made you happy today? And that you share that with the other members of your family and listen to each other about that special thing.
Okay, Bodie?
I have to reinforce what Mary said before. Do it with the TV off. Do it with the radio off. Don't do it while you're looking at your phone. And do it while you're looking into someone's eyes.
Okay, that's awesome. Mary?
Steps to a More Peaceful Home. I was at the Founders Day dinner a few weeks back, and apparently he's a fairly famous football player, Gilbert Brown.
Used to play for Packers.
Oh, that's the team. Okay.
The Grave Digger.
The Grave Digger. Okay. Anyway, Gilbert Brown was there, and man, is he big. He's a big guy. He was talking to us, and he said that parents had to step up, and they had to find the time to have dinner, have a meal with their children, maybe a lunch, maybe breakfast, maybe supper time. But they had to find an hour or so a day to sit down as a family so that they can connect as a family, modeling respectful behavior and taking turns talking, sharing, and listening. And that was his advice, and I think that was great.
I think encouraging kids, being there for them, I've always really appreciated all of our coaches. Kenosha and Racine have wonderful music programs, band, choir, orchestra, Holly Stanfield's musical theater program, all the athletic coaches. That sense of belonging is so very, very important. We teach kids ways of being kind. It's amazing what they can come up with. One of the ways is to be thankful and having kids write down on a post-it note one reason that you're thankful. I keep a thankfulness or gratitude journal. I've been doing it for 30 years, writing down one good thing that happens. And we use this at Bradford. And I remember coming out of school 5 o'clock, and Marguerite Conrad, a longtime Spanish teacher, a wonderful teacher at Bradford, was coming out earlier or with me. And I said, Marguerite, you need to go home earlier. You're spending way too much time. So come on, tell me one good thing, one thing you're thankful for that happened today. She said, all right, Joe, you know what? At breakfast, my fork worked. And after that, everything went downhill. So out there, folks, think of one good thing that happened to you each day. I'm blessed to have Mary Beth and Bodie and Mary and wonderful people. But even if it's just your fork worked, at least you're thankful for something, and that we can teach kids to be thankful also.
Fake it till you make it. I knew many years ago, she had to make a list of three every day so that she, you know, had the motivation to go into some challenging classrooms. And sometimes one of the three things she was thankful for is they actually got to say the Pledge of Allegiance. So it builds, though. It's the power of repetition. The more you focus on those positive things, those things you have gratitude for, and you just stick with it, whether it takes days, weeks, or months, it works. It's, believe it or not, you can call me crazy, it's helped me find parking spots.
Wow.
Joe, I worked with some awesome educational assistants. Gloria Chapman over at McKinley.
Sure.
And then over at Bullen was Kim Cochran. And Kim Cochran, her idea was anytime any student in the class said something negative, they had to come up with three positives. So occasionally, Mrs. Motter might say something negative, and then I'd have to come up with three positives. And sometimes it was a stretch, but the more you did it, again, fake it till you make it. And then...
Well, this has been awesome, and we're running out of time.
Oh, wow.
Our engineer, Russ, is giving us the signal. But Mary Beth and Bodie and Mary, thank you so much. Listeners out there, thank you so much. This is Education Matters, WGTD 91.1 HD, and we are truly blessed to have you as an audience. We hope you tune in again. Thank you so much, and practice peace.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD and this, our Saturday morning program, Community Matters. I'm Linda Fleshensky, the host for this week's edition of Community Matters. Today I am interviewing two individuals who have made an enormous difference in our community over many years in ways both seen and unseen. They are joint winners of the prestigious 2017 Martin Luther King Humanitarian Award. First of all, joining us is Reverend Dr. Warren Williams, who is retiring in April after 31 years as minister of Atonement Lutheran Church, which is now